Hello. Just before we start the episode, I'd like to apologise for my audio quality for the first about half an hour of the podcast. Not quite sure what happened, but it does clear up, so I apologise and bear with it and enjoy the episode. It's Tuesday, 13th of October, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Nikki.
Hello.
And Velt.
Hello.
We've got the usual ramblings to talk about, but first we got to ramble a bit about what games we've been playing, as we often do. Nikki, you take us away.
Hello, and welcome to the Gacha Hour. No, It might as well be at this point. You know how it goes, my dear listeners. Azur Lane, as always, there's an event at the minute to get essentially like a snowy character, and I think I have like 24 hours at the time of recording left to try and get this character, so let's see how it goes.
What are you doing here? Log off. Go play.
All right, bye. Recording a podcast or something like that. I don't know. But the last time they did an event with a character that I really wanted, I ended up in the last like hour spending money. I'm not doing that this time, so I'm gonna just see how I get on. I've got a load of ships already being constructed, so hopefully when I log in a bit, they'll be done. And fingers crossed, in one of those, maybe she'll be there. Outside of that, some Destiny 2. The Halloween event has kicked off in the past week. It's kind of just a rehash of what we've had for the last 2 years. So the Infinite Forest is back. It's now the Haunted Forest. And you just, you know, you've got a limited amount of time to do as many runs as you can, each floor getting increasingly harder with a boss at the end to try and get rewards. This is the last big event before the expansion. The Moments of Triumph is still going, but I've kind of not really cared much about that. The good thing about the Halloween events is letting me speed through the rest of the Battle Pass. I'm at like rank 60. And I've got just under a month to go about 40 levels. But getting through the Battle Pass in Destiny isn't that bad. You can clear a couple of, like, if you know what you're doing in terms of which like challenges to pick up on a daily basis, you can probably get through 10 levels in about 2 hours if you're smart. The idea is just to bank up dailies and weekly bounties and then just hand them all in. But not much else really in Destiny. I'm kind of still, I know we've spoken about it quite a bit in terms of like the fact that there's so much content being taken out on the 10th, but there's also new content coming in. I still haven't pre-ordered the Beyond Light expansion. It comes on the 10th of November. There's a payday before that, so I'll probably do it then. But I have to admit, I think this, and I've kind of touched on this a little bit over the last few weeks. If you just like listen to the last few episodes, you can kind of hear me slowly getting more and you're confused and on the fence about Destiny. This may be the last expansion I get. I've typically gotten like the digital deluxe editions that come with the season passes. I might not do that this time, and I think for Beyond Light, I may just get the standard, because it seems weird saying like, oh, they're taking so much content out. Like, why is it an issue? But like, I don't know. I think it's also just a time investment. I have not cleared any of the season passes this year. I've played very little of Destiny because I've just kind of focused on the story content. But even still, like, I don't know. I guess watch this space. I'm kind of in a, yeah, if it was a Facebook relationship, it'd be complicated, me and Destiny. Still love you, Destiny. Still love you, Bungie. But the passion isn't there. But who knows? Maybe with the expansion, it'll reignite, and that's all I'll talk about, and all the waifus will be forgotten about. I'm kidding. I would never forget about my waifus.
So it's a case of will she, won't she?
Yes, but it's me. Speaking of waifus, Genshin Impact has basically been my life since it launched. It's the only game... I haven't even touched Azura Lane every day, but Genshin I have touched every single day. As of yesterday at the time of recording, they started a co-op event for the week. It's nothing special. In fact, it's not lame. It's underwhelming, I guess. But, you know, all things considered, this game's been out for 2 weeks, and they've kind of given us a rough idea of the roadmap. Mahoyo, the developers, basically came out and said, look, y'all need to calm down. You need to chill. Stop making up all these fake leaks. Here is basically the target dates for the next three updates. Here's what we're going to vaguely do. We'll give you more information as we get closer. Chill. Because people have just, like, there was a... We may have even spoke about it last week, but there was a rumor that there was a big update coming out actually today at the time of recording. And that's obviously not true. MiHoYo have confirmed that, like, you know, the game has been such a success and had such a big launch that they're basically firefighting with bugs and servers and stuff. So things have been pushed back slightly, but they're doing a good job at just sort of trying. They're not being as transparent as, say, Bungie, but they don't need to be at this point, because ultimately the game's been out for 2 weeks. I wouldn't expect, like, I didn't even expect this co-op event. But the benefit of the co-op event is it's more bounties, which means more XP towards the battle pass, which means more loot, so win. Still not getting any waifus, any more than I already have. The drop rate is so low, and they don't make... It's probably my only complaint, actually, is that it doesn't give you much currency from playing. Like, if you weren't to spend any money, and the only money I've spent is the battle pass and the daily gems, which is a fiver, and it gives you a set amount every day. Outside of that and the free rolls it's given me, I've not done any extra, and I have literally only got, like, maybe not even half the characters, and there's not that many. But with a drop rate of 0.6% for 5-star characters, it is a bit like, nice, you know, start. Yeah, it's a very, very small drop rate. And something that I was I actually kind of reminded myself is, like, it's 0.6% to get a 5-star weapon or character, but if you then get into that 0.6%, you still aren't guaranteed to get the one you want, because that 0.6% is just to say, yes, you have gotten into that percentile to get a 5-star, but then there could be like 20 different 5-stars. So there's no guarantee.
It might even be one that you already have.
Exactly. So, for example, there's currently a banner that has an increased drop rate for Venti as well as three other characters. They're all 50%. Fantastic. I have summoned Barbara 4 times in a row now. So my Barbara has been upgraded, because when you get a duplicate, it gives you materials to buff them. My Barbara is super powerful. She's a healer, and I'm just, like, using her as a DPS right now. And that's fine, but it's a little bit frustrating. And I think that's inherently, like, I love gachas, but that's inherently the problem, is that if you're playing for free and you just have bad luck, that's the experience you're going to have. And it's taking me, it probably takes me about half an hour to do all my dailies and do everything I need to for the day. But when you think about it, like, if you're doing, that's the minute, like, that's all you need to do in a day is just do that, and then you're set. But if you've been doing that for 2 weeks and the game's then given you, you've earned up enough gems to do a summon, so a 10 pool summon, and you're guaranteed 4-star is a dupe or is a weapon, you're gonna feel a bit cheated. So I can understand why people are getting a bit angry about the drop rate. At the same time, it's only been 2 weeks. You don't need to do drop summons to finish the game. There is a fantastic story to enjoy. But I can't help but compare it to Azur Lane, where Azur Lane has, in some cases, a 0.2% chance. But there's hundreds of characters. And the game, I've probably, during the event that's currently on, I've probably done something like 200 summons. I haven't spent a penny. And all I've done is my daily missions. It takes 20 minutes. So, you know, a slight comparison there. But obviously, again, there's hundreds of characters. It doesn't really equate out. But I'm still very much enjoying Genshin, and I'm definitely going to keep playing it. But yes, we've got 3 major updates that are going to be on like 6 week, 5 to 6 week releases. One of them is coming out like the 23rd of December, which is a bit random, but I'm definitely going to stick with it. I think for the rest of the battle pass, for this battle pass, which is I think another 30 days, and then go from there. But we'll see. I'm enjoying it for now. It's definitely I'd say it's like a 9 out of 10 if I had to give it a score. I'm not actually going to review it. So
really,
that's big. Yeah. But I am, if you hadn't noticed, a very big fan of mobile games and gacha games. And to be honest with you, Destiny, Azur Lane, and Genshin are kind of all I've really been playing majority this year. And they all have very similar loops in terms of, like, you know, what you're doing. Not so much Destiny, but I digress. That's what I've been playing this week.
Okay, Val, what about you?
Yeah, I've actually been playing a few things because I've been busy, strangely enough. So I've got, well, the thing that I've been playing, putting a lot of time into, unfortunately, is Final Fantasy 14. which is bad. My housemates
I've never seen you playing it on Discord.
Really? I was playing it just before here.
By which I mean, that's all I ever see you play.
That's not true. I'm playing lots of things at different times of the day. But I am playing, I'm playing Final Fantasy 14. My housemates won out. I decided to end up playing it. And because it's a Final Fantasy game, I end up playing a lot. I've just finished the first, the sort of base game, I guess.
Oh, so you've just finished A Realm Reborn.
A Realm Reborn, yeah, that one. So I'm doing stuff in between that. I'm still doing the free trial, to be fair. The free trial is really good. Get a lot of mileage on that free trial, don't you, at the moment?
Well, the free trial will take you to the end of Heavensward, which is its first expansion. I think it includes the patch. So just for context for anyone who's listening, each expansion is essentially a major version, and then there's patch content in between that bridges the gap. So, like, version 3 is Heavensward, and then 3.1 to 3.5 was the sort of bridging patch content until 4, which was Stormblood.
So I'm kind of... I don't know how much I'm enjoying it. It's my first MMO experience in general. And, like, it's... I kind of like using it to chill. So, like, doing quests and stuff I find is quite relaxing and quite therapeutic. And I really enjoy just hanging out with people in general. So, like, today, me and a couple of friends, we just sort of were hanging out in a random house and taking pictures and stuff, which I found a lot of fun. But I don't know if I find, like, the actual gameplay of it all that fun or engaging, or the story for that matter, considering I'm playing an awful lot of it. But I hear the story gets a lot better. I hear the story in A Realm Reborn's not good.
Yeah, Heavenswood is when it, like, as soon as you actually start Heavenswood, not the patch content, but actually Heavenswood, like, it is immediately just like, wow, they just turned this up to 11.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for that to sort of kick in. Hopefully it will be soon, and hopefully I'll get a bit more engaged with it. But the story hasn't really kept me interested. I've kind of been skipping a lot of it, and all the characters who are major characters in the plot and just kind of aren't there for the most part. Like, there's characters like Ishtola and Thancred and people like that who are major characters within the game who I've not seen really for hours and hours. Just walking around on my own, which sounds sad. I've also been playing. I started the Outer Worlds. I started doing the Outer Worlds on a stream as my first sort of playthrough of that game. I know you guys played it around when it released, and I heard a lot of good things about it. And I'm liking the game. It's less similar to Fallout than I was expecting. Because, you know, all the comparisons were, oh, it's Fallout, but in space, oh, it's Fallout, whatever. But I find myself drawing more comparisons to, and I know gameplay-wise it's similar to Fallout, but I find myself finding more comparisons to Mass Effect than anything else. Just because of the way the companion system works and the way that the writing's done in that game. The writing's really good. I've got 3 companions now. I've managed to get Parvati, obviously you get her first. Ellie and Felix, I think those are the other characters that I've got, and all 3 of them have sort of struck a chord with me instantly, which I find pretty impressive, because even Mass Effect I don't think did that with its characters. Like, a couple of them I really quite like in the original Mass Effect, but not all of the casts at that point.
You only need Garrus.
You want, well, I had Garrus and Rex, which is like the dream team. But and then Garrus and then Thane and then Garrus and whoever else was in three.
Tally.
Tally's cool, but exactly. It sort of boils down to, oh, I've got Garrus. Garrus is the only one that matters. Whereas in this, I'm like, Pavarti's adorable. Let's just say that Pavarti's adorable. She's great. I've like spent most of my time just messing about with her like little crush on the engineer in the first area that you go to, and I'm like, yeah, this is amazing.
I bet you regret not siding with me for her to be character of the year at the Game of the Year podcast last year.
I don't remember who I don't remember who else I decided.
You didn't side with me. That's all that matters.
I didn't side with you, but you know what? I've tried to play that game 3 times now, and I just can't.
Really?
Yeah, which is a shame because I everything you're saying about the characters and the aesthetic, like I love it, but I just could not play it.
I know. Yeah, I think it was you who I remember having an issue with it before, and maybe I think Roadsters as well. I just enjoy it, although I find the combat a bit, you know, base. It's a bit bare bones, but I like the writing. Writing's really good.
How dare you like a game that I didn't like? No, I'm kidding.
I know. Also, I've been playing a lot of Two Point Hospital because I love that game.
They just announced the new expansion.
Oh, excellent! I can't wait. I've been trying to just 3-star lots of like every individual hospital because I just adore it. It's so much fun. But I think that stems from me playing Theme Hospital a lot when I was a kid. So
Culture Shock, it's called.
Oh wow, I'm interested. It's
coming out on the 20th on Steam.
Excellent. I've been playing it on Game Pass, so I assume I won't get the DLC with that, but yeah, probably not. I also took the time to play the free game of last week from the Epic Game Store, which was Piku Niku.
Love that game.
Which is, you know, it's an adorable little platformer puzzle platformer, I would say. It's incredible. I don't think I've laughed as much as when I played the 3 hours of that game. I think, genuinely, I can't remember a time where I've laughed as much as I have playing a game. I got to, the introduction was hilarious and everything was, I was enjoying it. And then I got to the point where I kicked a toaster and got sucked into the toast realm.
Right.
And then I didn't stop laughing from then until the end of the game. It's genuinely that fun. I really loved it. The robot dance battle was also a bit of a highlight. It was good. I played a bit of an Among Us. I've joined the crew. I've played some Among Us. I know people are playing on that. That was all the rage for a bit, wasn't it?
Yeah, the memes have started to die down.
That's good. It's okay, actually. Me and my friends were having a chat about it before, actually, and it's kind of dull unless you're the imposter. Because you're just kind of wandering around and doing tasks, and then something happens, and you're like, oh, okay. And we've had games where literally nothing's happened and nobody's died, which I find extremely puzzling. It's okay. I understand why it kind of kicks off, and I think it would be better if you just played it just with friends, like playing on public servers or private servers with lots of other people that you don't know or can't speak to coming in. I find it difficult to deal with, and not as fun because you can't sort of argue and bicker amongst yourselves, you know.
In case people aren't aware of Among Us. It's a game where it's a multiplayer game. One person is an imposter who has to kill the others without them finding out that they are the imposter and voting them out.
That's a very old sort of concept for a guy. Like, my friend was saying it was like Werewolf, which I don't know what that is. But then it gets like Murder in the Dark, isn't it? Or, you know, whatever. It's a very old concept for a game, and it's pretty simple. But in this sort of video game form, especially online and with people you can't really speak to, it's fun, but then also I see where it would just be better to get, and I don't know, this is unfortunate and you can't really do this in today's modern age, would be more fun to just get a bunch of people in a room and play Murder in the Dark. But yeah, obviously, and maybe that's a reason why it's kicked off. You just actually kill someone. Maybe that's part of the reason why it's kicked off so well, because we can't actually have, you know, this interaction anymore, and it's...
Yeah, I think it, you know, considering this year we've seen games like Among Us and Fall Guys really succeed, and they're all multiplayer games, like, I wonder if, like, because of the current climate, like, that is just what's really kind of good right now. Cheap multiplayer games. Although I have to say, like, I have no interest in Among Us, but I really appreciate a video I saw of someone where they go to do a vote, and then to defend themselves, they pulled up a PowerPoint presentation on stream with like five reasons why they couldn't possibly be the imposter. It was the best thing I've ever seen.
Nice. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I've been playing it on the Cambrian community game night.
Oh, yes.
And one member of staff, Karma, managed to get voted off three times in a row, despite not being...
That's impressive.
Just because our editor-in-chief, Resh, said, it's Karma.
It's always Karma. It's always his fault. So it's Among Us. Also, the last thing that I've been playing, finally, so you can stop listening to me waffle on about nonsense, me and my friends have brought it upon ourselves to play a blindfolded run of Skyrim, where my friend, who has played over a million hours, I don't think it's that actual number, but he's played more hours than anyone else I've ever seen in Skyrim, is blindfolded, and me and my other friend, one who has never played the game before, guide him through the main story. And it's genuinely the best experience I've ever had with that game. It's incredible fun. It genuinely is. He can't go anywhere. He can't see what's going on. It took him 2 hours to get through the tutorial chapter. It's genuinely impressive how bad we are at working together as a team to guide our friend through dungeons.
You all just sat there going, to you, to me, to you, to me.
A little bit. It is a little bit like, Louis, go to your left. No, your other left. That's not left. No, you've gone too far left. Right. Now stop.
Oh, gosh.
Two steps forward.
Sounds like an insane version of Nightmare. It used to be on ITV. Back in the day,
when
I was a little one.
Yeah, I remember Nightmare.
There was one person wearing a helmet and the others watching on a monitor, and they could see like all the obstacles. The other person was wearing a helmet and so couldn't. It was a video game that on the screen, the person who was wearing the helmet was just on a green screen or whatever, and they'd have to call out one step left, take one step left, and oh no, duck, because there's a fireball coming.
Mario, is that what they've been playing? I will say, I saw some Mario 35, you know, the Mario Battle Royale. That's a mistake of a game. Jesus, it's a bit of a nightmare. So if you're not familiar with Mario, it's like Tetris 99. So it's a battle royale. Everyone plays Super Mario Bros., the first Super Mario Bros. Game, at the same time, 35 players, and any enemy that you defeat gets sent to a person of your choice. So it essentially just ends up as this big mess of like a bazillion Goombas and 12 Bowsers all attacking people at the same time. And it's a bit of a nightmare, really. It looks like a lot of fun. Like, too much fun. I don't know. What have you been playing, Ace?
Nothing. I can go quite into as much detail as you two have gone into detail. I loaded up Hard Space Shipbreaker. I haven't played that since I lost the internet. They've had a couple of updates and recently put in a new ship, so I wanted to check that out. And when you go into the game, you get a selection of ships that you can take apart. Unfortunately, this new ship wasn't amongst them, so I thought, well, I'll take apart a ship and then maybe it'll be in the next selection. I'm about halfway through taking apart this ship and the game crashes with some sort of error I've never seen before, so I was quite upset. It was a couple of shifts in, so it had saved not too long ago, so it's not like I lost a lot of progress, but there was still quite a lot of expensive stuff attached to that ship that I could have got rid of. Noita, that's launching this week out of early access, so I still can't talk about it too much. Check out my review tomorrow afternoon on GameGrid.com.
Ooh.
Simpsons Tapped Out, still no event. Waiting for that Treehouse of Horror event to drop, because it's close to Halloween. They always have a Treehouse of Horror event at Halloween. Star Trek Online, making some progress in the event that they've got going on at the moment. It's a bit odd because there's this... There's a glitch that your mission is to destroy all these ships and rescue people by beaming them up from the surface of the planet, beaming them onto transport ships, and then defending the area while the transport ships escape. Simple enough. There's several missions like that throughout Star Trek Online. But there's like 50, 60 transport ships that have to escape, and 8 times out of 10, when there is one transport ship remaining, it won't go, and no matter how much damage it takes, it will not explode, so you can't lose it, so it won't leave, it won't die. You're stuck like this for about 10 minutes. Just, and you've still got to defend the area, you've still got to blast all these other ships, and then usually it'll just, this transport will just vanish, and then that's it. Okay, now all these other ships are going to escape, and they do, so it takes another about 5 minutes. It's just so annoying that this one transport ship, 8 times out of 10, it's not just me that it's happened to, because there'll be people complaining, oh, it's happened again. And Puce, who's often on the Greencast, he's reported the same thing. And on one occasion, he got to that one point and this transport wasn't leaving, wasn't dying. And it was taking so long that everyone else had left the match.
Jesus.
And he spent another 5 minutes on his own, and it still wasn't going, so he had to quit it too. Anyway, some more Genshin Impact. I've started Chapter 1. I'm a couple of story missions into that. And Dauntless, I'm 10 levels away from finishing the Hunt Pass, which changes in 8 days, and they're going to fancy up the town for Halloween, because surprise, that's coming soon.
Soon, isn't it? Only a few weeks away.
And you can't say, oh, you're saying that it's coming soon and it's not, because this isn't Christmas we're talking about, this is Halloween. Now, without a segue, onto the news.
Segue needed.
It's been a sticking point for me ever since the PlayStation 5 was announced. Backwards compatibility, and Sony have finally explained what they mean by most PlayStation 4 games are going to be playable on PlayStation 5. They've actually released a list of all the games that will not work on PlayStation 5.
Mm.
There are 10 games on this list.
Unacceptable.
I've not heard of a lot of these games, I'll be honest. Oh no, I have heard of most of them, I'd say, but some of them I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, the most recent game is TT Isle of Man Ride on the Edge 2, which came out this year.
Mm.
The rest are from like 2017, and that's there's Hitman Go Definitive Edition, We Sing, Shadow Complex Remastered, Afro Samurai 2 Revenge of Kuma Volume 1.
That would be funny if like if there was a Volume 2 and that one was backwards compatible.
No, it'd be funny if Volume 1 was, but Volume 2 wasn't.
Oh yeah.
But yes, they restate in this support post where this information was found, the majority of PS4 games, the overwhelming majority of the 4,000 plus PS4 games. It does also say this list is subject to change and excludes media, demos, media, and non-game applications. It also does state further down that PS4 game discs can't be used with the PlayStation 5 Digital Edition. It shouldn't need saying, but you know it's got to be.
It does.
Well, to be fair, I suppose you know, maybe some people would have jumped to the conclusion that, well, if I plug in an external drive and...
I still reckon they're going to bring a standalone drive out, either Sony or Microsoft, if not both.
They're going to do an Apple.
It's going to connect by FireWire.
God. Do we know why these particular PS4 games won't work? It doesn't say on here.
There doesn't seem to be a unifying theme. It doesn't appear to be the engine that they're made in. It's not the style of game. It's not the content. There's a rhythm game. There's a racing game.
Yeah, and it's not like they all have specific sort of adaptions or anything. Like We Sing might have a microphone adaption that doesn't work on a PS5, but then I assume Afro Samurai 2 Revenge of Kuma Volume 1 doesn't also have that same sort of issue. It's odd, some of the games that are just on, like Shadow Complex. Surely that's quite easy to get working on a PS4, right?
I would assume that maybe it might even be a case it's as simple as just like, maybe there's like a small amount of work required, and for whatever reason the publishers of these games just can't be bothered. But when you consider that there's like, what, over 4,000 games, and it's come down to 10.
it's not a big list.
I would argue that it's not because the developer or publisher needs to do some work on the game, because Hitman Go Definitive Edition is not going to be compatible. It doesn't say anything about Lara Croft Go or Tomb Raider Go. Or
that's true.
I just flipped the coin. It was like intern Jeff. It was like, Jeff, you've only got enough time to click 4 buttons or something stupid like that. And he flipped a coin and he went, oh, that one.
It does also talk about the PlayStation VR, because PSVR games are going to work on PlayStation 5. You can use your current VR headset. You will also need a PS camera, which is sold separately from the PS5, and a PS camera adapter. Now, I've seen places saying that that means you need to send away and they will send you the adapter because it says no purchase required. But I would have thought it had come in the box.
Yeah, you would hope so, wouldn't you? But, you know.
And again, I suppose it's saving money if they just post it out whenever someone asks for one.
My understanding is that they'd already mentioned this, but they said that there would be details at a later date, and I don't think there's been any details. It's probably going to be a case of like, you'll need to, I imagine, prove you've purchased, or maybe, yeah, why not just include it in the box? I don't know, actually.
Just to get you to buy more random stuff.
This is where it turns out the adapter is like an Ouya.
You can plug your Ouya into your PlayStation.
And now it'll make toast.
I wish. I'd buy a PlayStation if it made me toast.
I think I feel like not that there's much more to really say on this subject, but I feel like they did this with the PS3 to PS4, and I remember that, or like there was something I remember seeing a similar list at some point for compatible games to a different console, and I remember it being quite small back then as well, the list of games that weren't compatible.
I did somewhere in the back of my head. I agree.
Or maybe it was like
Wii to Wii U.
Do you know what? It might have been when the PS4 Pro came out and they were like, yeah, you can use boost mode to make games better, except for like these random few games where don't use boost mode because it'll break it. I think. I might just be making this up. What's next?
Well, speaking of breaking, Microsoft have said internally that they are planning to still come to iOS and break the rules, as it were. See where the segue was? Good. You get it?
I got it.
Okay. They've said that they are going to release a browser-based app for the Xbox Game Pass so that you can stream your Xbox Game Pass games on iOS, which is an interesting way around it because, as we discussed previously, iOS have basically said you need an app for every single game on Game Pass so that the app will take you to the Game Pass app and then play that specific game. Also, give us a cut of the in-app purchases.
Yeah, this is actually kind of smart. Like, if this works how their sort of, like, this report is saying it will, in that, like, it's a web page or it's a single app, maybe. I mean, you can turn web pages into apps, big air quotations. That would be awesome, and also a giant middle finger to Apple. I hope it works. I genuinely think, like, it would suck for Apple iPhone users to not be able to make use of this. Obviously, for Microsoft, it's a good point about, like, they want to have more customers. But, you know, considering it's like, you know, it'd be a win-win for everyone if it can go there. It's also kind of amusing as well, because just a quick note, as just before we started recording this episode, Apple announced their new iPhone, the iPhone 12, and in it, apparently they made a big deal in their presentation that League of Legends is coming to the phone because to the iOS, because, you know, the power of the iPhone can play League of Legends. Whoopty fucking do.
That's how you can play League of Legends, right? Probably.
But, like, yeah, I don't know. The thing is, like, and I know I'm slightly derailing this topic, but this is definitely a space we want to watch. And I say we both as in us and you listeners, because the Apple and Epic are going to court over the whole Fortnite situation. But, like, that's actually, the court date isn't for a while, but it's escalated into a point where, like, this could the outcome of that could massively affect the future of the mobile market, because the key thing is that in the documents published by the court, and this is where it matters, they actually state that Apple is a monopoly. And that's the key, like, big thing there, is that if the court is recognizing that Apple is a monopoly, then, oh boy, this could be interesting. And it's gone to the point where, like,
I guess serious.
Yeah, like, really serious. Senior analysts have said, like, the outcome of this court case, it might even be early next year now, thinking about it, like, that it could have massive impact on the rest of the big publishers like PlayStation, Nintendo, and so
even just in video games wise though as well, like Apple being formally known or noticed as a monopoly will not just have a big impact on video games or just Apple in general, but the mobile market and the computing market and tech and the entire tech industry, because Apple's such a big player. It's like if Disney were just formally recognized as a monopoly, and how crazy that would be for all entertainment properties and how much things would change there. It's it genuinely, like, big things can happen from them being formally known as a monopoly, because it's not legal to have a monopoly on things.
So who knows, maybe Microsoft won't have to do a web solution. Maybe they'll be able to just release the Game Pass app.
Maybe.
Is it illegal for Hasbro to have a monopoly on Monopoly sets?
We'd have to check. It's worth having a look.
Yeah. I mean, screw them anyway, because they stole the idea from someone, but moving on.
But they stole the idea from capitalism anyway.
Capitalism. It's a flawed system.
Speaking of, 505 Games have released a statement regarding Lab Zero Games. The indie developer has dissolved or restructured or something for reasons we won't get into. Basically, someone was a huge git. But they have been working on Indivisible. And the game has recently come out on Switch, and basically it means there's going to be no more updates for Indivisible. The update, which landed today on the Switch, is the final update. It brings it to parity with the other versions, New Game Plus, Couch Co-op, and also the DLC, which you can buy now. My issue with this FAQ is that it does talk about the Indiegogo backers, the people who crowdfunded it on Indiegogo. And if you never got a physical game as an Indiegogo backer, you need to submit a ticket to 505 Games by the end of this month.
Sure, that's not a lot of time.
It's not. This post went up on the 9th of October, so if you're not paying attention to their website. And also, there it is. If you didn't get a digital reward, or your backer code doesn't work, or then you need to contact Lab Zero Games directly. Please be aware, given their current situation, they may not be able to reply.
That's what I was thinking. Like, you've just dissolved the company. How can you then get in touch with them if they've dissolved?
It's that meme where, like, the music kicks in and it just goes, what?
It's basically, contact them. It's nothing to do with us. They probably won't answer. Tough.
Yeah, that's just completely shifting, like, any sense of responsibility. And, you know, maybe legitimately it has nothing to do with them, but you would hope that given the circumstances that they would, like, take some ownership.
The game's still on sale for Steam, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. And there's a physical version of the game coming out in North America next month.
Yeah, they're still going to make money from it.
Exactly.
They still have the responsibility of dealing with that game and all the issues around that game. Doesn't matter if the studio has been dissolved behind it. Like, if this happened it's probably a bad example, but EA, who are famous for dissolving studios, if this was a similar thing with them, they would have to honor that. Like, 505 should honor anything that is in regards to this game, because even though the studio doesn't exist anymore, the game still does, and they're still making money from it.
But by publishing the game, they assume responsibility for the game.
Yeah. Doesn't matter what the studio is doing, really.
But speaking of studios not doing anything, Crystal Dynamics is reported as is confident that players are going to return to Marvel's Avengers, because it recently transpired that they had under 1,000 concurrent players. Wow. And if you've played Marvel's Avengers, that's a multiplayer heavy game. Apart from the story mission.
Apart from the single player bit of that game.
there are multiplayer missions in the single player story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I played them with Puce. And played the solo missions by myself, obviously.
Of course, yeah. Who else would you play them with?
But Crystal Dynamics boss Scott Amos has issued a statement about the future of the game, noting that he's confident that upcoming content will bring players back. Because there's going to be a new Warzone mission type called Tachyon Rifts, a new outpost, and Ames Cloning Lab, which is a high-level mission that dishes out new loot. They're also releasing Kate Bishop, Hawkeye, and Hawk Guy. Soon, I want to say next month, Kate Bishop's coming, but it doesn't say in this thing that I'm reading. Apparently she was supposed to come out this month, so
I assume that's delayed due to COVID stuff. And
I would imagine, yeah.
Of course people are going to return. I know it's been controversial, to say the least, as Marvel's Avengers, but of course people, that's how these big multiplayer games work. People go blast through the content, and then when new content comes out, people return. It's like people were saying Fall Guys is dead. No, it just, like, you just played season one a lot, and now season two's out, it's back on the rise again.
It's like how I remember we used to have articles maybe every couple of years where it'd be like, World of Warcraft has lowest recorded player base. And it's like, yeah, you've written this like 2 weeks before the new expansion comes out. You know, there's always this dip. Oh, admittedly, less than 1,000 players is quite low. Like when I'm talking like people report that, you know, Final Fantasy 14 or WoW have low players, we're still talking a couple of 100,000, you know, sort of post expansion. Which then, you know, jumps back up when new content comes out. And that'll happen in everything. That happens in all sort of live service games. But I wonder if it's, I would love to know if it's just on PC or if there's a similar situation across console. Obviously we don't have access to that information, but that's a bit of an odd one, because considering it's a loot focused game as well, you would have thought that there'd be at least a good couple of, at least tens of thousands.
I don't know what happened to, because I know a lot of the pre-release chat, I don't know whether what it's been like since release, I know a lot of the pre-release chat about the multiplayer of the game was focusing on how sort of unstable it was and how not very fun it was. So maybe that's got some, I'm sure that is some reason why it's got such a dwindling player base.
Okay, so just very quickly, I've just had a look, and again, please take what I'm about to say with a massive pinch of salt, because I'm using Steam charts, it is not an accurate representation, so just take that into consideration. Looking at the comparison between Marvel Avengers and Destiny 2 on Steam, I just curious. According to this, in the last, well, apparently playing an hour ago, there was just under 1,500 people playing Marvel Avengers, as opposed to 66,000 playing Destiny 2.
Oh my goodness.
And they're
basically the same game.
And the reason I picked Destiny 2 is, one, because it's the first that came to mind, and two, because Destiny 2, for a couple of months now, has had people constantly saying, it's dead, it's dead. And it's like, no, it's really not. The worrying thing is apparently the all-time peak for Marvel's Avengers, and again, grain of salt, is only 28,000.
It is a multi-platform game, and the number obviously doesn't include people who have set their Steam profile to private.
Yeah.
But that can't be that many people.
Yeah, still. Maybe the console market is where Avengers fans are, but Even still, it's a lot less than what I'd expect for something as big as a name as Avengers.
I mean,
it doesn't help that apparently Spider-Man still isn't available for PlayStation 4, even though that's
really,
that's like the reason people bought it on PlayStation 4 for Spider-Man.
Yeah, and according to Steam charts as well, like just refreshing the homepage of Steam Charts right now. So right now, as I'm talking, there are 65,000 people playing Destiny 2, which makes it the 9th most played game at this exact moment. The 3rd most played game right now with over 200,000 is actually Among Us.
That makes sense.
Counter-Strike Global Offensive is the most of 800,000. I'm rambling with numbers.
Where is Grand Theft Auto 5?
8. Just ever so slightly above Destiny 2.
Well, speaking of Grand Theft Auto 5, Rockstar Games have added a 10th studio under them. They've bought Ruffian Games, known for its work on the Master Chief Collection and Crackdown 2 in the past. They've been working with them for a while. They've now bought them and renamed them Rockstar Dundee.
Mm. It's worth also stating that they did Crackdown 3 as well. Yes, because I'm looking at their Wikipedia page here, and the last games that they worked on or developed were Crackdown 3 and Rad TV, published by Ruffian, self-published Rad TV. They've not developed an awful lot. It was Crackdown 2, Kinect, Playfit, Fragmental, Crackdown 3, and Rad TV. But they have additionally worked on a bunch of Kinect games, like Kinect Star Wars, Kinect Sesame Street, and, as you stated, Halo Master Chief Collection. I wonder why. I wonder why they picked up Ruffian.
Well, they've got to get someone working on GTA 5 for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Well, GTA Online for those two. And why not get the new guys to do it?
Do you know what? It also, this is a bit of a wild speculation, but there may be some truth to this. There aren't actually that many games companies in Scotland, believe it or not. Like, obviously, Rockstar North is arguably one of the biggest, both in the UK and in Scotland. Last time I looked, I'm throwing a wild number out here, but I'd say around less than 20 sort of established studios in the whole of Scotland, the majority of which are in Dundee. If I was looking to get more people involved in a project at a studio, I'd go local. I'd want someone that I could, you know, post-COVID, just walk down to and be like, how's GTA 5 doing on that console, you know? So that may be part of it. And also, yeah, just those, you know, the relationships that they've built from working with them before. But
well, if it is to do with the next-gen consoles, that brings us nicely into our main topic. How will you fit the next-gen into your life? Because obviously, by now, we've seen various unboxings, and we've seen the consoles in videos. Some lucky people have even got their own consoles very, very early. And they're not small.
No. I mean, to give our listeners a sort of, if you haven't seen yourselves, to give you kind of a vague idea, the Xbox Series X, if you lay it flat, is about as wide as the original Xbox One is. So it's not that much. It's thick, but it's not that much bigger than sort of your typical Xbox One that's available at the minute. It's just an awkward rectangle, the tower. Yeah. Whereas the PS5, that, you know, Sony published a teardown video recently, and like, it's the size of the guy's torso. Like, so it's a
big,
it's a chunky boy.
Why is it so big?
The PlayStation 5 is, according to estimates from videos, PlayStation 5 is about 10 centimeters longer than the Xbox Series X, which itself is 30 centimeters tall.
Yeah, it's also it says a lot that, like, you know, the Xbox Series X, you know, in all the promotional material is vertical, but they've said, like, yeah, you can lay it flat, it's not a problem. It says a lot, though, when, like, the PS5 is the first PlayStation, as far as I'm aware, where they've revealed it vertically. Like, it's, you can have it horizontal, and, like, that's how I would prefer to have all my consoles, but, like, do you know what? It might actually be the same height as my TV. I don't have a big TV, but like that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, there's an image that you put in the Discord chat there, and I know it's maybe it's not to scale, maybe it is to scale, but the PlayStation 5 in that picture is almost as big as the TV in that picture, and that's I'm assuming that's quite a big TV.
Okay, Games Radar have the dimensions of the PlayStation 4 Pro next to the dimensions of the PlayStation 5, and the Pro is 10 centimeters shorter.
So the Pro's about the same as the Xbox. Okay.
Yeah, so the Pro is about the size of the Xbox Series X at the minute, but the I mean, to be fair, I don't like standing the PS4 Pro up. Like, I'm looking at it right now. Mine's laid down, but like when it's actually upright, that's still quite big. But like, yeah, no, the PS5 being 10 centimeters bigger, bloody hell.
It's mad. It's mad.
30 centimeters, for reference, is about the size of a standard keyboard, ignoring if you cut off the number pad. I'd say that's about 30 centimeters.
Okay.
For the benefit of our listeners, to give you a rough idea, like I have a coffee table which I have my consoles on right now, because I don't have a fancy setup. It comfortably fits a PS4 Pro, an Xbox One S, and my Switch dock. Absolutely comfortable. I personally like to leave a bit of, you know, like a 2 centimeter gap all around my consoles, just for airflow. Like, I'd never have them up against anything flush, you know.
That's a good idea.
If I was to put the PS5 on the table, I think I could probably only have the PS5 and one other console on that table, like looking at it from here. And the table is just a bit smaller lengthwise than, say, a two-seater sofa. You know, there's no way you're going to fit, like, there's no way you're going to fit the PS5 under your desk, depending on how, like, the kind of standard sizing for desks. Like, that, I think this is... This is the generation of like, oh shit, this is going to stand upright. I hope they do a slim model.
Probably will. Especially if there's like a lot of demand for it, which there probably will be considering it's bloody huge. You know, and they have
the slim model is... That's the thing that I find very interesting, because obviously the Xbox Series has the discless one. It is the smaller version because there isn't a disc tray, but the PS5 without the disc tray isn't actually smaller.
It's just the same size, isn't it? So I'm wondering if it is taken up by all of the like the parts in it. Like, is that space all taken up, or have they just gone, we'll just make a big console for no reason? Can they make a slim
one? Looking at the teardown, like, yeah, it is filled to the brim with hardware. For anyone who's unaware what I'm referring to, PlayStation put out an official video where, for some reason, one of their employees just tears down a PS5 quite neatly to sort of show you the internal components, because that's, you know, YouTubers are going to do it as soon as they get hands on anyway, so Sony might as well do it and make it look nice. It's worth watching. It's a 7-minute video. It's subtitled because it's in Japanese, but it gives you it gives you a really good understanding of the size, as well as the weird kind of design and the shape of the console, as well as how like the stands work. But I know one of the biggest complaints about the PS4 was the noise the fans made, and apparently the PS5 is super quiet. So I wonder if like that was one of the key design things. They're like, it needs to be quiet, and that's unfortunately the trade-off, is we now have this massive size.
That might be the truth, yeah.
I mean, I personally look forward to these consoles because you could quite easily kill someone with either of them.
I wonder when will be the time that we get a murder trial and the weapon is a PlayStation 5.
And then everyone will just go, oh, Nicky.
No, it's your fault. You're giving them ideas again.
yeah.
And on that note, we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Nikki and Velt. You can find us on Twitter at @error_Nikki, at @heardanoise, that's H-U-R-D annoise, and at @acelister. Of course, don't forget to check out GameOnGrid.com and keep an eye on wherever social media is posted. Just search for GameGrid for all the latest news, reviews, and more. Thank you for listening and for subscribing across Amazon Music, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere else. Don't forget that leaving a review, comment, or follow really helps the show out. And while you're at it, game on.